I just want to introduce our speaker today. I just thank God for giving Pastor Jacob the heart of mission. So can we put our hands together for our very own, our man on a mission, Pastor Jacob.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and we worship you and we praise you. And we thank you, Father God, for who you are. And what an incredible summer that has been. Lord, going through the missions, Father God, and the short-term mission. And Lord God, going to different countries and different places that you have led us and direct us. And see what you are doing. Lord God, we are just awe at all those things that you are doing in many different countries and what you're about to do here, Father God, through this. And I ask you, Father God, that you will touch us, challenge us, and Lord God, motivate us, Lord God, to go further, to Lord God, take the greater step, to a step of obedience to seek after you. God, we love you. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Wow. I couldn't believe it. Like, the summer's, I guess, kind of winding down, but this summer has been really busy. And the whole month of June, then I'll be out there in Korea and Japan and Thailand. And then finally came back and then went to vacation with my family and went to Washington, D.C. to see my grandchildren. It was a labor of love, I tell you. And after that, we went to Yellowstone with my family and saw a beauty of the Lord, that what God has created. I mean, there is no way that all this beauty is created accidentally. There is no way. There is a hands of God is in it, and God have dictated and put it all together. And you know, as just as God have beautified and gave us the beauty, you know what? God is about wanted to create a beauty in your life also. May God's hands be upon you guys. Let him come and let his hand start to beautify your life. You know, that beauty does not mean that it's lack of pain. Sometimes it takes pain to create a beauty in our hearts and our life. But out of that, I know that God can do incredible things. And so I saw that, and then, you know, I came back here, and then now I'm ready for the school that's going to open up in August in the direction. So I wanted to talk about a little bit about the mission and what God has done. So can you open up the PowerPoint that I created? Okay, so I'm going to start with... Yeah, don't I have the Bible verse? Sky? Okay, here goes. Okay. All right, so let's talk. I wanted to talk about from here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12, and the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's the one that I'm going to really focus on. And then, and I'm going to read this. And he gave us some as apostles, and some as a prophet, and some as evangelists, and some as a pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building of the body of Christ. Amen. So, you know, you might ask me this question. You say, what has this got to do with mission? And well, one of the things that I really wanted to talk about here today is that, hey, you know, what is a church? When you guys come to church, one of the things that, you know, as I grew up in Korea, in Korean church, and believe it or not, I actually ministered in Korean church for like 30 years or some in Washington, D.C. area and other places. I never actually went into the church with the local or American ministry. It was all Korean ministry. And one of the things about Korean ministry is that pastor does all the work, you know? Yes. And they expected him to do everything, even, you know, vacuuming the carpets and everything else, you know. And so it's like, wow. But it's being a pastor is a lot of work, especially in Korean church. And they expect you to do that in that direction. But when you look at in the Bible, here it actually talk about a five-fold ministry. Now, you know, I used to be a Baptist in Southern Baptist Church. And in Southern Baptist Church, when I go to Washington, D.C., I have a lot of Baptist pastors who are my friends. And I actually have lunch and dinner with them and talk about them. And one of the things that I talked about is about the gift of the Holy Spirit and other things. But one of the things I talk about is about this. There's a five-fold ministry. And when you look at five-fold ministry, that some of the mainline denominations, especially Baptist areas, they do not acknowledge the first two, apostle and prophet. He said apostle and prophet was the time of the early church. Now, those apostle and prophet is gone away. Now, we have only three, evangelists, pastors, and teacher. And I asked them, you know, while they're buying me a Chinese duck, okay? And I asked them, I said, where in the Bible is actually said there's those two ministries are gone away? And they cannot say. Yeah. And I said, this apostle and prophet still exists today. And so it is actually on the foundation of the apostle and prophet that God built the church. And it is a very important aspect. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. So what is the primary reason why that we have this fivefold ministry? Now, one of the things that when we talk about ministers in modern day is that when they talk about it, they say, well, pastor. When you become a minister, you got to be a pastor. I want you guys to understand and know, not everybody is equipping or gifted to be a pastor. Personally, I'm not a pastor. I don't think I have a gifting or patience of pastor. You know what I'm trying to say? Some people drive me nuts. And I don't know I want to really hang around with them too long. You know what I'm saying? I look at Pastor David and Pastor Dan and I say, like, how in the world they could withstand and being patient? I'm not trying to say, you know, you guys are not worth it. You are. But I just don't have a gift to do it in that direction. Okay? But I want you guys to understand, reason why it's like that is because we all, in a minister, in a ministry area, have a different gifting. And the gifting is the five-fold ministry. And with that gifting, what was the purpose of that gifting? Not whole entire minister do all the work, but equipping the saints. So you guys will not be just pew warmer. You know what I'm saying? Come on Sunday and sitting on the pew and warming that seat. And then you go back home and saying that Pastor Hong will do the rest. It's not going to be like that. It's supposed to be what? We supposed to challenge you, supposed to direct you, and supposed to pray for you that God will shake your life. And so you will get engaged into a ministry that is offered by the church. So you will be trained and you will be out there in a street and preaching the gospel. And you will be the one lead the Bible study. So you will learn enough for you to equip to lead a Bible study and raising up the body of Christ. Amen? And that's what it's supposed to be. We should not never be as a saint of God to be a spectators. You know what I'm saying? God didn't tell you to do that. That was one of the biggest reasons for the short-term mission trip. I wanted to shake you guys up and say, come on, let's go. Go out of your comfort zone. I remember John. You know, one of the things about short-term mission trip is you get to know people. You know what I'm saying? I never knew about John, about him. I mean, he's a, you know, big man. I didn't know he could cry. But when we go there and when we were talking about our testimony, John would start weeping. He said, I never went outside of the United States. I said, like, really, John? You live in Alaska. You live in Wyoming and Montana. I said, my gosh, you live in all these wild places, but you never went outside of the country? He said, never did. And when he came and go out, went to Korea and Thailand. I know some of you guys are afraid to go to Thailand. I know. You guys were saying like, oh, I'm not going to eat that rat. Oh, did you guys know Thailand team has the best time? We have to happen somehow stay in five-star hotel. You guys know that? Only $50 a night, though. $50 a night, okay? Thailand's cheap, okay? And we stayed in five-star hotel, and, man, it was hot there. But we were always in a, you know, limousine or air-conditioned room. But we went so many places, and we saw incredible things. I'll talk about it more on that part. But when you look at 5-4 ministry, what is the purpose of that? To equipping the saints. I'll go briefly about what the 5-4 ministry is about. Apostles. Everybody, take out your hands right now. Take out your hand. Okay. All right. The out of your all five fingers, the thumb is the apostles. Why is that? Thumb is the strongest finger of all the five. Okay? This is the only finger that touches other fingers. Right? Okay? So apostles, a lot of people say, is a pioneers. To go and pioneer the work. And so because of that, it actually piggybacks sometimes other gifting of the fivefold ministry. But I believe it's a lot more than that. Apostle was sent with the mission. That's what apostle actually means. But actually what apostle does is that apostle minister to other fivefold ministry. I really believe, as I look at some of the elders of our church, especially Pastor John, has a gifting of apostles. Well, how do I know that? Well, because he ministered to the ministers. And like person like Brother Oscar Brooks, he have a gift of apostleship. Well, how do I know that? Because he have a gift of planning a Bible college and minister to the potential ministers for the future. That's his gifting. So you see all those people. So does not mean that apostles have all the gifting, but they know how to, what, monitor and understand those gifting and how to manage it and manage those people who has the gifting in the right place to able to raise them up. So it is very important. If we cut off those ministry, apostles and prophets, you know what? Body of Christ will start limping instead of running because we cut off some of the ministry gift in our life. And so there's an incredible ministry in apostleship. A prophet. Prophet is this finger right here. This finger is what? Directing. When you are directing someone, it directs. So prophet, when you look at from the Old Testament through the New Testament, what does a prophet mostly do? They direct the church in the way of the Lord. Is that right? Prophet, not many people like prophet because they tell you the truth. They say the things that you need to hear. Right? Like one of the prime prophet that I knew in my past years was David Wilkerson. Brother Wilkerson, man, he tell to the body of Christ how they ought to live and what way they need to go. And we all respected him because he lived like that. And man, whatever he said, a lot of things that he said came true in many ways. There's a prophets out there. They actually in their message will tell you a truth that they need to hear. And they have a boldness to do that. They have a message in their heart to do that in their direction. So prophet. So out of the apostleship and a prophet, God builds the church. So from there, the evangelist. Evangelist is what? The longest finger. Okay. What does evangelist do? Evangelist go to the farthest of the world and to reach the lost. You know, I tell you the truth, I'm afraid to speak to people. I really do. Okay? Start the conversation. That's not my thing. But man, I know some of the guys cannot wait to speak to other people. You know, they go there and it's like they speak to them about Jesus without any problem. They're the one who bring all the people into the church, right? And give us the challenge to go out there and preach the gospel to the lost. They're the evangelists. A lot of people, we mix up together with the revivalists and evangelists. You know, there are some, they're like Brother Swagger, Jimmy Swagger, and all those, Billy Graham, and the evangelists to bring the lost into the church body of Christ. But not everybody who's like a revivalist are evangelists. But some of them, the evangelists, man, they have a heart and they have a gifting. Bring the hardest to the lost. Like our sister Stacy, evangelist. Go out there and target those people that we don't even think we wanted to bring. She dragged them in. She bring them in. Okay? Whatever. You know, when you really look at in the Bible, in a Greek, okay, it said, bring everybody in. That actually, when you really look at in the original words, it said, if you have to twist their arm and bring them in, bring them in. It actually say that. Okay? And so it is important for us, okay, we have the evangelist in the church to who is able to what? To go out there and preach the gospel that give us, becomes what? To example for us to follow. To remind us that. The pastor is the ring finger. What does that mean? Pastor is the married to the church. They are the guardian of the church. They are the one who look at, make sure that you guys behave the right way. They are the one who know and care about everything in your life. You know, think about Pastor John. He care about everything about our life. Is your band okay? Is John okay? Joe okay? He talked to me about all our grandchildren. Is Jonathan okay? Pastorship, who cares? And know exactly what is going on in your life. Okay? That's a pastorship. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody has the patience to do that. But some of the pastors, they do. The last one is the teacher. You know what the teachers do? They dig the word of God deep in and able to dig it out. And so when you look at, like, Brother Oscar, you know, you guys were... We bring him over and over again. Why is that? Because he bring out the words that we never thought is there. Isn't that right? Huh? And he goes like, wow. Right? Why is that? Right? Like, you know, he have a gifting to understand the words. He have a gifting to, and he takes time, really, read the words and study the word of God. And so, when he does that, it's somehow, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God comes alive. Amen? Not everybody has that. But God somehow brings those things out. So now, when you're looking at those gifts, what is the purpose of those fivefold ministry? Bible says very clearly in the rest of the verse, it says, for to what? To equipping of the saints. Amen? And so, that's what was the whole purpose for us to go into short-term mission trip. For us to what? For us to bring our gifting alive. And so not just the ministers, but those of you who are sitting there, you guys are the saints. I want you guys to understand, you know, our Catholics have made a grievous mistake. I want you guys to know now you don't have to do a great work to be a saint. You guys are all saints. Did you know that Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, saints, he called all people a saint, a saint of God. When you accept Jesus Christ in your life, you became the saint. Amen? So my name is Saint Hong. Didn't you guys know that? Yes.
So, we have a whole bunch of saints. I know we don't act like saints sometimes. Huh? But we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And we became saints as soon as you accept Jesus in your life. Amen? And so what do you do as a saint? We got to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ in any means, in any way we can. And that's what fivefold ministry is about. Let's go to the next one. So the role of the ministry is not to do all the works themselves. So one of the things is that empower others by teaching them and how to complete the work, ensuring they are fully equipped to succeed. And then you envisioning them, help us to understand the need and the burden of the commission that God has given us. And that is why the trip, what this trip, the vision trip was all about. So this time, I heard some of the YouTube, Uzias was talking about, I said, Pastor, you know, this was truly a vision trip, you know. This was nothing compared to the Mexico mission trip. That is right. And some of you guys, I need to take you guys to Mexico. When Brother Oscar is, you know what he does? Some of you guys, you know, Thailand team, as soon as we arrive, we went to this nice 5-star hotel. And wake up in the morning, they got a nice gym. And Clara was going there, working out. And since, you know, she was like complaining that they didn't have enough equipment and all those things. And then we went to this nice breakfast every morning. Oh my gosh, it wasn't like that in Mexico. You go to Mexico, as soon as we arrived in the airport, it took us straight into Mexico from airport. I said, Oscar, where are we going? We're going to Mexico. He said, what are we doing? He said, we're going to evangelize, man. So everybody ready for testimony? And we're just like, okay. Oh, and there was no air condition out there. We're in the middle of the heat. You know, and then we're going there, and we are giving testimonies. We're doing skits. We are delivering the food and all those things. It was truly a mission trip. Now, for the trip that we went to, two of the weeks that we went to, it was a vision trip because we see what God was doing in the nations that we went. And so envisioning, what is... And so when we went there, some of the people who went to Japan, they said, wow, we only know that Japan was 1% Christian. We didn't know all these things were going on in Japan. We didn't know Japan mission was here for 30 years and God was moving this powerfully. We didn't know about all those things. So they started to have a heart for Japan. You know, they went to Thailand. And when we went to Thailand, we saw the God was moving there. So we only understand the 0.5% of Christians there. But there was Christians were there for about 100 years. But we saw what God was doing powerfully in Thailand. So I'll explain to you further in that one. Next one. So Thailand. Start with Brother Oscar was there. And Brother Oscar wanted to have a special connection of anti-trafficking ministry. That's why he joined us. And so you look at it, the Thailand, one of the things about Thailand is it's full of idols everywhere you do. And this is a shopping mall. And then you'll see the idols that come from Buddhism. And so you'll see a different kind of Buddhism. But when you look at Southeast Asia, it's a Buddhism that is very spiritualized. And so in there, they actually have a demonic influence in Buddhism. And when you look at some of the Korean Buddhism, it's very philosophical. I've studied the philosophy of their life, but here it's a lot different than that. It's actually involved spiritual things. And so you see these idols there, and you see the huge, heavy influence of demonic influence in Thailand. Let's go next one. This is the first Christian church that was created hundreds of years ago. A Presbyterian church there. Next one. But one of the things that we understood is that one of the reasons why we stay on the five-star hotel was that there was conference going on in the church, Korean church in Bangkok. That hotel was right beside it. And I didn't know that we went there and there was a conference was going on because the Koreans were sending a missionary to Thailand for 70 years. And I was shocked. I said, wow, Koreans are engaging in mission in Thailand for 70 years. And this church is one of the largest Korean church in Bangkok. And it was 150 congregation. And this church used to be a safe house for North Korean defectors. When they defected out of the North Korea, that Korean CIA put them in this church to protect them until they go to South Korea. So this church played a huge role. You know, one of the things, a very dear person that I could not show you guys her face, but a person that we met in the church with Brother Oscar and I, we were there about a day ahead. We went to this church, and one of the people that we saw was this couple who live in Chiang Mai, which is north of the Bangkok. And they used to live in Houston, Texas, had a prominent business, you know, but they're YMers. They're DTS people. And you know what they do and why they live in Chiang Mai? They take in North Korean defectors. They're coming from Laos into Thailand. And they disciple them. They live with them for 3 months at a time and disciple them, loving them, tell them about Jesus, and release them to the authority later down the road so they could go into South Korea. Man, they are such a precious people. You know, they could live comfortably in America, they're American citizens. In Texas, they had a prominent business. They gave all that because God called them into that ministry. And God have given them incredible ministry. And they're telling us about how God changed some of the North Koreans and how God is doing incredible things in their hearts, in their life, through their ministry. I said, wow, there is so many unsung heroes and hidden gems all over the body of Christ. If you go out, go into a mission field like that, you start seeing that. So God will give you guys opportunity to see those people in that direction. Praise God. Okay, to the next one. So Korean missionaries in Bangkok. So you'll see, I'll show you a video based the video that they made at the very end. And so you see the pastors, young pastors way on the on there. See that person who has a black shirt? Right behind that is the pastor who actually pioneered the church. He came around 15 years ago to Bangkok. And first 3 years, nobody came to his church when he planted. For the first 3 years, he had a service by himself and his family. That's it. For 3 years. Can you imagine that, guys? But now, this church become thriving, and they got 50 young people there. And God is doing incredible things through their church today. So I said, like, wow, these people went through so much, paid so much in their life, and doing incredible things. You know, the PK, you see that girl right in the front? She was our guide. She speaks 3 languages. You know, she might probably complain and say, why I have to be in Thailand because of my parents? But now if she went through international school and everything else, she learned how to speak English. She speaks Thai and she speaks Korean. And now she's going to go to a school in the United States in California, in Azusa University. And God's doing incredible things, okay? Powerful things. Next. So one of the things that the Bangkok churches do is that they plant churches. Now, this is the way they do it. When they do it, long time ago, they send out a missionary to Thailand, a Korean missionary to Thailand. But now what they're doing is that they actually train up the local pastors, local people, through their Bible college and training school and send them out indigenous people, the local people, to plant a church. And man, when we visit those churches, God was doing incredible things, powerful things through their people. So we were encouraged and of the, all the things what God was doing. Give me the next one. One of the things that we saw, we went to visit because of Brother Oscar was anti-trafficking ministry. And so we went there, we were there in the middle of Bangkok, and we go talk to people. This anti-trafficking ministry was created by a lady, a missionary, who's Assembly of God minister. Actually has this nightlife, nightlight. Is actually in also in Missouri there. And she actually created the same ministry after the ministry in Bangkok. So what they do is they talk in all those people who's prostitute and all those people that and really minister to them, touch their life, teach them skill how to survive, and preach the gospel to them. And so we saw the process, how that God is really working through those people. And so it was very encouraging to see that. Next one. So Japan Mission. We had a chance to see Japan Mission. One of the things that Japan Mission, you know, when David and Sue was here and telling us about the ministry, he didn't do it justice. He couldn't really explain. I mean, when we went to see, it was just so powerful because they had a people living in that place and going out every day and creating English ministry, English camp, and minister and helping out a church every single day. And so and it was just incredible what they do. And then on Wednesday and Saturday, and there's other kids come and to learn English. And through that, they have a connection to minister to the Japanese people there. So, man, it was powerful. Power of God was just, presence of God was very present in that place. And so we had a chance to see that with the next one. We are helping out the construction of the building. So, so many people are coming. They need to enlarge their facility. So we had a chance to break down some of the things. So we need a prince and all those people to, Pastor Harris to go there next time around and to help out and building the deck and do all those things. We need you guys, all your giftings that you have. We need it in the mission field there. So, you know, Pastor Steve and Pastor John and all three of us, we're really breaking down all those things. It was just fantastic. This is what we did. Okay? All right, next. All right. Went to Korea. All two teams went to Korea. You see all these girls dressed up in Korean dress? See, I tried to persuade Pastor John to get dressed up. He ran away from me. I think he's waiting for Pastor Pat to come, and maybe they both will dress up next time. So when you look at Korea, Korea used to be a monarchy. And so because of that, Korea is a very strong Confucius country. And Korea used to be less than 1% Christian, okay, when the missionary came. So when you see there was a person named Sigmund Lee, our first president, used to live in Hawaii for 30 years. He said he was driving down the street and he saw this young girl was begging for the money. And she looked at it and said, "That girl is Korean." I said, and so she picked her up and asked her, I said, "What's going on with you?" He said, "Well, my mom and dad came from Korea to here. And because they're Confucius, and they realize that I'm a daughter, not girl, not a son, they kicked me out of the house." He said, "We don't need a girl. We need a boy." And so that was the ideology of Confucianism. And Korea was like that. Okay, and so the Sigmund Lee actually created a school to taking care of those girls. And so in that kind of ideology, the missionary came and changed the society of Korea in many different ways. Can we go to the next one? This is all those things. Jimmy and I were dressed up as, bodyguards, okay? Go to the next one. I'll show you a fun video. Go ahead, next one. Turn the video on. You know that you had a soul fight? Okay. Jimmy won, by the way. Okay. All right, next one. Okay, so this is the pictures of missionaries in Korea who came, okay, and give their life for the Lord. Okay? And because of them, a lot of people don't know, but because of them, Korea is where we are today. I know you guys all like Korea. K-food, K-pop, you know, K-everything. I want you guys to know, Korea become what we are today is because those missionaries sacrifice and give their life unto the Lord. Is the next one? We went to the missionary graveyard, and there is a girl named Ruby Kendrick. See, one of the missionaries said on his tombstone, he said, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Wow. And then the Ruby Kendrick said, next one. That's her. Okay? She came in age of 22 to Korea. And she died after 2 years later. And according to the tombstone, he said, she died of exhaustion. She worked so hard. She died of exhaustion. 22 years old. From Dallas, Texas. Texan girl. Can you believe that? And then she said on her diary, and then what she said in her diary, they put it in the tombstone. It said this, "If I have 1,000 lives, Korea deserves it all." You know, every single time they saw that, their hearts just melt. I said, like, wow, these people gave their life for the sake of the gospel for Korea. And Korea become what we are today because of those missionaries lay down their life. Next. Did you guys know, past week, we had 3 North Korean people and other PKs and downstairs. We're having a retreat, okay, downstairs past week. And so I took some of the pictures, and Pastor John was a speaker last night. I was speaker on the Friday night. And God is doing something in Door of Faith, amen? God is doing something in our hearts and our lives. And God is giving us opportunity to go far beyond than what we are today, what we have today, okay? Let's go to the next one. So this is kind of things that I wanted to do. Pastor John and we are talking to equipping you guys as best we can with many things. For the futures, next year, I want to have a 1-week mission to 3 countries. Okay? Mission trip, not a vision trip this time. No 5-star hotel. Okay? I will put you guys into, okay, a place that you can suffer a little bit. Okay? All right. So we're going to for 3 different countries. I'm thinking about Vietnam, Japan, and Korea in that way. And so please, guys, join us. It's going to be incredible. I know it. Okay? And then I'm thinking about maybe creating a 1-month internship in the future. I know a lot of young people here. You guys, what do you guys do in summertime? You got 2 months off. Some of you guys in university for 3 months off. Give some to the Lord. Amen? And so 1-month internship for the future. Hey, maybe we could increase it down the road. We'll have 1-year internship. Maybe some of you guys say, I want to have a gap year. I don't want to go straight to a university. I want to give that year for the Lord. Maybe some of you guys wanted to do that. Some of you adults wanted to do that. He said, I wanted to quit my job. Go to Japan, teach English or something, or go to Korea. I stick you guys in to way down into the mountains, beautiful mountain there, and you could teach English or evangelize, do things there. But you will have chance for you guys to mingle with people. Maybe even Vietnam, Pastor Moses, a nice place for you guys to go. Incredible. For spend a year, sacrifice that year for the people and connect with people. You know what? Every single time that when you do that, when you come back, God will provide you a way to come back into to the United States. And you have a greater heart and a vision and say, whoa, I wanted to really serve God. Not everybody's called to be a missionary, but I believe everybody's called for the short-term mission trip. And the last part is maybe, not maybe, I believe that we will one day will send out a missionary out end of the world who said, Pastor Hong, I think I am called to be a missionary. I wanted to dedicate my life, the skill set I learned from university, skill set that I have, and I wanted to use this to dedicate my life for the Lord. Amen? And you know what? We will do our best to equip you guys to do that, to go out there and preach the gospel. Amen. Can we all stand? I want to pray for you guys, and I'll give it to Doug. Yeah. Hallelujah. Why is God doing what he's doing? Because God wants to challenge you guys, direct you guys. God wants you to live the exciting life, the life that he has prepared for you guys. I pray that God will speak to you guys through this message, through this presentation, that you will be challenged to do and take a next step for the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you. We worship you. Lord, you are such an incredible God. What are incredible things to live for you, to obey you, take the step that you want us to take, go to the place that you want us to go to, and to able to touch the people that you want us to touch. Holy Spirit, come upon this place right now. Speak to our people, Father God, that we will not be comfortable in where we are. But God, you will challenge us to take a next step to do incredible things for you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for all the things that you have shown us and directed us and given us through the summer. May every summer will be greater and more incredible things that will happen. Well, this summer, I proclaim, summers will be a summer of testimony maker. Lord God, it will be a time that we will experience a new testimony because of who you are. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name.